Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tata Coffee Q2 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, team. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q2 FY21 results conference call of Tata Coffee Limited. While it is expected that there was an increase in pantry stocking in earlier quarters, but we still continue to see strong momentum by 8 o'clock coffee even in this quarter also. We have senior management, Mr. Chacko Purukkal Thomas, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkatramanan, Executive Director, Finance and CFO, joining on the call. Now, I hand over the call to the management for their comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. This is Chacko Thomas. I'd like to begin this call by giving you a brief overview of the performance of the company, especially in today's volatile market scenario, which we are all aware the world is going through. I'm pleased to report that despite challenging conditions and global headwinds impacting most of the business, we've been able to deliver a stable financial performance during the quarter. On the standalone total income for quarter two financial 21, it stands at 185.61 crores on account of higher sales volumes and realizations for both tea and coffee beans, and the standalone profit after tax is around 22.31 crores. The consolidated total income for quarter two is higher by 12% versus the previous year. That is 547 crores in quarter two this year compared to 486 crores in quarter two of financial year 20. And of course, the net profit for quarter two has grown by almost 6% over previous year. I'll just move the focus on to how the markets are. Coffee prices for both Arabica and Robusta have been quite irregular. It hit high in early August and then dropped off pretty sharply towards the end of the quarter. The resurgence of COVID in most parts of Europe and an anticipatory lockdown can further trigger an impact on the out-of-home segment and its consumption. Coffee production in Brazil is also expected to be at near to record levels and will be favorable for exports considering currency favorability. Coffee prices are thus, in our opinion, likely to remain under pressure in the coming months, and growth in this segment is also expected to be slightly muted for the season. However, in these challenging times, I'm very happy to state that we've been able to get substantially better prices for our coffee by premiumization and our differentiation efforts on our coffees. This, along with the cost optimization, productivity and efficiency enhancement in both our factories and estates, have helped us beat the margins which are prevailing in the coffee in the market at the moment. On to our other operations. Due to COVID. In the instant coffee segment, we managed to deliver a good sales performance across all regions. Our factories have actually run at near peak capacities during this period. While there are some uncertainties around quarter three, which the industry is facing or is facing unprecedented challenges, we are fairly confident of surmounting the same by exploring and opening new geographies for sale. In Vietnam, the operations have been steady and they continue to deliver good, robust sales and dispatches during this particular quarter. Several new clients have been added, and our efforts in partnering with our clients for their NPD needs via our pilot plant have been well appreciated and have helped us with this performance. On the plantations, primarily coffee crop for the season looks quite reasonable and better than the previous year as of now. With respect to the tea business, we were able to garner improved price realization on better quality and buoyant prices at the moment. Finally, on the consolidated results for first half, aided by an acceptable and standalone performance in quarter one, our consolidated results have also shown a marked improvement when compared to the previous year. Our U.S. subsidiary 8 O'Clock Coffee continues to register good performance on account of higher sales and good profitability. The consolidated total income for 6 months ended on September 30, 2020, was higher by 19% vis-a-vis the net profit, vis-a-vis the previous year, and the net profit increased by over 39%. In summary, I would like to mention that we have managed to deliver a overall good performance despite the global pandemic, struggling economies, and overall softness in consumption. Our focus areas in the following quarters will be to continue improving productivity, implementing strict cost control measures across all businesses, opening up new geographies for sale, and of course, continuing to ensure best-in-class customer service and satisfaction. I'll now hand over to my colleague Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance for quarter two and the half.
Thanks, Chaco. Good morning to all. Tata Coffee has, reported a healthy Q2, despite the pandemic and the challenging circumstances. On the standalone, the revenues have been flat. While the plantation segment has recorded better, improved turnovers on account of both coffee, pepper, and tea, SP especially, which has recorded higher realizations, as Chaco has mentioned. On instant coffee, as there has been some deferment of some few shipments, and that probably will be looked at in the coming quarters. On the cost, we have been extremely careful in terms of the cost being incurred. Other than statutory kind of increases, there has been kind of pullback on most elements of cost. And the profit for the standalone profit has been impacted on account of the factors as I mentioned above. On the tax rate, of course, we took advantage of the 115 BAA last year, and there was some of a deferred tax right back in the previous year's quarter. On the consolidated front, on the consolidated total income is up by 12% compared to the previous quarter, and also net profit is up by 6%. 8 O'Clock has had a very robust quarter, continuing the excellent performance in Q1. And as far as Vietnam is concerned, there is a PAT break-even which has been, PBT and PAT break-even which has been achieved during the quarter. They are continuing the robust performance in terms of improvement quarter on quarter. 8 O'Clock has reported higher profits, higher realizations, and also better channel mix, which is combined with lower overall costs. Another factor which I wanted to inform is also on the Merchandise Export Incentive Scheme, MEIS, where we have to, for the half year, we have not accrued around 7.4 crores of MEIS. That's due to lack of clarity on the scheme, and we are hoping for some resolution from the government as the days go by. With this, I look forward to the analyst questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anshul Mittal from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Yeah. So my question, first question is on Vietnam. What was the Vietnam revenue contribution for the quarter, or if you don't want to specify that, then if you can share the utilization.
No, utilization, actually production utilization has been in the region of 95%. On the sales, okay, also the quarter two has been very healthy and robust. We don't want to comment on, you know, specific in terms of the turnover, etc., because as we look, what is happening is, as of now, the customer relationships have been very strongly built up, and we are only looking forward to building up on that. Obviously, see, some of it has to be seen in the light of the pandemic, because, for example, Europe, which is going through a second wave, there could be, kind of, as a quarter two from Vietnam is concerned, there was no impact. But as we move forward, we'll have to wait for the kind of, any kind of impact coming through. But as Vietnam is concerned, it has been improving quarter on quarter, and we are looking forward to a healthy growth there.
So considering we are at near full utilization in Vietnam, we just are at PAT break-even. I thought we would be at profitability at PBT level.
We are profitable at PBT, but then it's not that we would not comment that we have reached the peak, because you see, there is production is at 95%, but obviously it all depends also on the mix as we move along when we do the sales and shipments.
Okay, so profitability should improve in Vietnam.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and you mentioned about deferment of orders for instant coffee in Q2. What was the value of that order, sir?
Could be in the range of 200-300 tons.
Sorry, sir?
200-300 tons. That's only from India.
200-300 tons. Okay, okay, okay.
200-300 tons, yeah.
Okay, okay, okay. And in terms of our EOC margins, seem to be under pressure for the quarter, especially considering Vietnam margins versus last year should have been better. So any comment on margins for 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock has been improving. See, the channel mix has been favorable. 8 o'clock has been improving.
Versus last quarter, the margins seem to be quite...
But you have to take in account, the point is like this. See, they have the back business, they have the K-Cups, they have the private label. Okay. So the movement in respect of these mixes would change. Quarter one was definitely a much better quarter in 8 o'clock.
Okay, but nothing specific on the... So mix would have played a role in Q1?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, okay. And sir, just your comment on plantation. So considering we expect a better coffee crop for this season, plus tea prices are significantly higher versus last year. So is it fair to say that plantation should do significantly better in H2 versus last year?
I think the performance definitely should be better than last year. It again depends on a lot of other factors, and as I spoke about in terms of, say, coffee prices. As I said, coffee prices have actually come down. So, to say that it would be significantly better would be an overstatement, but it would definitely be better. Both the crop is better and of course, tea is also better.
Last year, I think our crop was impacted by 30% odd for plantation. So, this year, we expect the full recovery to normal levels, or it should be...
It will be better than last year. Definitely last year coffee crop was much financially impacted, but this year we don't expect that kind of an impact. And so the short answer to the question is the crop is much better than the previous year.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Nikhil. Yes,
yeah. Sir, I have basically two questions. One on the instant coffee business. We had been looking at that there were many capacities which were coming up globally, and there was a demand-supply mismatch kind of a thing which was happening. As a result, the pricing was under pressure. How do you read the scenario now? And because on one hand, the coffee in consumption has increased because of more work from home and that kind, but also out-of-home consumption has been impacted. So how is the overall net hit on the consumption? And in line with that, how is the supply scenario placing, or if you can just get us a perspective on that? And secondly, on the 8 o'clock coffee, 8 o'clock coffee, how do you see, because last two quarters they've been very strong and there was pantry loading and everything, but structurally, do you think that the retention rate of people who have tried our products is increasing, or how much of this growth can remain secular for us?
Okay. So on the instant coffee, let me address myself and Chacko. One is that, of course, we are talking of the current situation of pandemic. Okay. So there has been, if you look at some of the markets like Europe, which went through the first wave, then recovered, then again, so a little bit of a setback is seen there. So on the volume front, we are not saying, see, we are obviously seeing recovery back, but obviously the out-of-home consumption is impacted, as we have mentioned also earlier. The HoReCa consumption is impacted, but people are also getting used to this kind of new normal circumstances, and they are trying, and their food service businesses are getting home deliveries organized. So those are changes which is happening. So obviously, while we are not seeing the demand, growth, I won't say that the instant coffee was growing at around 2-2.5%, that kind of growth has not come back. But definitely, it is not as bad as it was about 6 months back. So things are definitely, we are seeing a clear recovery in the market. Now, the question of, many of the, the vaccine coming up and all those would play a part in kind of recovery of these volumes and volume growth. Secondly, on the capacity, see, this keep happening, coming up and all that. But what we have done is we are kind of, we have our strengths in terms of the instant coffee business. We have decades of experience in running the plants. We have a new plant with a pilot plant in Vietnam, which is being complete, which has been, effectively utilized. And thirdly, we are also trying on different source blends, which we are trying to, those blends are getting, what we are trying to co-generate these blends with the customers. We are offering them much better. The NPD of the instant coffee is also being strengthened. So all these, despite what capacity is coming up, yes, there would be capacities coming, what would be there. But then the point is that with our kind of differentiation in the product portfolio and the new product development, we are hoping that we'll be able to sort of, strengthen our presence. And also to remember, Vietnam plant is a new plant. Obviously, takes customer relationships, et cetera, to build up over time. So that's what we are, and we have, with our, very, very strong customer relationship, we are only seeing, kind of, growth which we should be able to capitalize on. Secondly, on the 8 o'clock, whether we are asking whether secular growth, see, 8 o'clock has been building up the brand. They have got into, the NPD is also, the new NPD is gathering momentum. So some of these factors would play. 8 o'clock is not having, I won't say it's a very kind of, it's the fourth or fifth largest gourmet brand in U.S. But that way, there is definitely momentum to keep the sales going. And with the new kind of, channels and, the NPD getting momentum, we are sort of, trying to improve the growth in those markets.
Sir, just two additional questions here. On the first, on the Vietnam instant coffee business. Now, I understand that we have our own, because two things which I understand are the key differentiator for a client is, one is the new product and the ability to create new blends, and secondly, ability to supply during times of distress like these. Now, comparing that with the capabilities of what Tata Coffee versus some of the smaller or the fragmented players, does it mean that there could be a sustained shift from customers from smaller players to a regular or a larger player? Is that happening in terms of increasing inquiries for you, or, and is this scenario playing out in the industry?
Generally, that is the situation. See, the point is like this. On the free, if you look at the products, we are talking of spray, agglo, and freeze. So that's the market which we are looking at. So, see, much of these, smaller players or most of them are at the spray, where there is, probably a lower kind of, pricing play possible there. But as we move up, like freeze, there are not many, newer players or smaller players coming up. So there, some of us, we are also focusing more on the freeze side of the business, which is around 7,000 tons, what we have between Vietnam and India. So that is a strong market, strong product segment for us to grow. On the spray and agglo, yes, we have got specific market relationships which we are building on. There are new geographies which we are definitely, we're going to get into or looking at. So these would play a part. So obviously, on the pricing side, we have our own strengths in terms of a strong NPD portfolio. We are getting newer coffee products, so which are like coffee, ginseng, all those kinds of newer product development, which we hope to capitalize as we go along. So we are not so much worried about the smaller players in a different category. So that's what we have. So we have our strengths, which we can definitely, and the relationships which we have built, which will come into play.
So just adding to what Venkat has said, it's also about the core of the company's how we believe that we should be doing business, which is actually differentiating and premiumizing our product. You're absolutely right. One of the biggest advantages that we've had is the presence of a pilot plant in Vietnam, where we are able to actually do all the NPD that we would any customer would want, and that has stood us in good stead. So we see a steady increase in these premium differentiated products from what we started off about a year and a half back. And that is the route that we feel most of the consumers and the customers are actually going to be taking going forward, even for instant coffee. There is obviously an impact, as Venkat mentioned, about consumption out of home, but in-home consumption in terms of premium products, we do see an uptick happening.
Sir, one thing. Now, in that respect, if we look at because we focus more on premium products, new product development, and then we are saying that as of now, even at 90-95% utilization in Vietnam, we are probably PBT break-even. So how does the cycle happen? So is it like once we start the capacity, generally a low volume kind of a product gets sold, and then over a period of 3-4 years, the customer graduates towards those products? And what is the time cycle which this happens over?
So the time cycle, you're absolutely right. It takes a while for, say, an interest to be generated for a very specific customer. And different geographies take different amounts of time in terms of, trying it out and then converting on a full scale going forward. For example, it can range anything between 6 months to even as high as 2-2.5 years, right? So there is that time that is required. And very clearly, we are on the right path, where we have considerably increased the quantums of what we consider as premium and differentiated and, highly specific requirements that we are servicing for specific customers. So there is a time frame, and that time frame, will need to necessarily play out. But these are good spaces to be in.
Also, please remember that we are talking of these situations, well, obviously the consumer demand is picking up, kind of bad, so one has to look at these aspects also when we look at the margins.
So all this new product should probably start coming in from 22 onward. Would that be a fair assumption for us?
Maybe even earlier.
Even earlier. In fact, we are already into all that. We have been sort of trying to,
I don't want to put numbers here, but I think we are far in advance, I think.
And just one last question, sir. On 8 o'clock coffee, so over last 2-3 years, if we look at it, there were two things which we were driving. One is new product development and distribution changes. And parallelly, we were trying to optimize our costs in order to improve the margin. So on the cost side, on the growth side, certainly things are playing out, and fortunately it should continue for us. On the cost side, are there any more levers to improve our margins, or now the margins are a more a play of the growth sustenance?
No, costs are always there to optimize, Nikhil. There's no doubt on that. So I won't say that we have reached the peak in terms of cost optimization. They are a continuing exercise which we do.
Okay. Fine. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any follow-up, request you to rejoin the queue, please. The next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Morning. Morning, Chetan.
Sir, just wanted to understand on the Vietnam plant a little more. Is it fair to assume that the optimum ROC of this plant will be achievable only once we see another brownfield expansion, or can we do it in this 5,000-ton capacity?
No, no. We will be achieving with the current facility. There's no doubt on that. Obviously, see, the point is there are obviously, if you look at, I'm just giving you an example. There was a year in which instant coffee in India business did about kind of 70-80 crores of profitability also. So obviously, this all will depend also on the time at which we talk of this in terms of the volumes or the pricing or the markets.
Okay. And sir, how much will a next leg of 5,000-ton expansion cost us in Vietnam whenever we do it?
Should be in the region of $50 million.
So similar to the first 5,000?
Yeah. But then only thing is, only difference is we have the land there. So obviously, there's no cost to the land as such which will come. So slightly, that's what I'm saying, it will be in the $50 or depends with the rest of the plants which we can go for.
So these are typical modular capacity expansions that they don't have a lot of shared infrastructure kind of benefit that is there.
There will be. There will be
shared infrastructure, but primarily around facilities and things of that sort. But the main equipment, whether it is the freeze-dried unit or the roasting unit or any of the other boilers, even boilers to a certain extent, you can do a little bit of sharing. But most of it would actually be new facilities, I mean, new equipment. And these are modular in nature, absolutely right. You will have to add 5,000+. That's the kind of thing.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You mentioned that your capacity utilization is 95% for the Vietnam plant. So just wanted to understand, would the sales be equal to the production this quarter, or sales is much sort of lower?
Sales will be lower, Percy. So I will not be the sales will be marginally lower.
Okay. And inventory plus or minus, or is there any particular reason for the sales to be lower?
So it depends on the connections and shipments and all. So we will produce, but then obviously, there are in terms of the shipment samples, approvals, and all that, which will be there, which is just a slight time lag in that sense.
At this point in time, there are also issues around containers being available, things like certain ports being chock-a-block full, so movement of containers. So there's a considerable amount of that issues also which is there.
Sir, and what is the sales value growth for 8 O'Clock Coffee this quarter?
Sales volume value growth for the quarter, roughly in the region of sales value growth, you are saying? Value growth will be in the region of 7%-8%, roughly.
Okay. Okay, sir. And finally, on the standalone business, your margins have come only at 6%, and there is an increase in the other expenses also, and there's a decline in the gross margin also. So I'm sorry if you covered this in the initial part of the call. I joined late. Any flavor you can give on why the margins have been low, and how do we see the margins in the next couple of quarters?
See, I'll tell you one of the reasons which I mentioned was this MEIS, where we have not accrued around 7.5 crores for the half year. So that is one reason because we don't have clarity on that accrual, so we have not accrued. So obviously, to that extent, the margin depletion you may see. And secondly, obviously, the plantations is not correct to, not be right to look at in this manner, because the, you know, where, you know, where the harvest is yet to begin. So to that extent, we go through the cycle of fair valuation impacts every quarter. So to that extent, there will be a, you know, kind of adjustment to the margins, which will happen on quarter on quarter depending on the biological valuation. Probably a year end picture would be far better.
What is the amount of this amount not accrued?
7.4 crores, roughly. Approximately.
Okay, that's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silverlight Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Sir, I might have missed this earlier if you would have spoken about it. I just want to understand how are you, why is this break even at 95% capacity to utilization?
No, when I said break, see, the break even in the sense is not break even in the sense of, see, what is happening is that, see, you have to look at it in that sense, because Vietnam has also got a debt of around 45-50 million. Okay, the funding was done on the basis that there's a substantial debt, there's an interest which is there. Okay, so obviously that interest as we go along, depending on the volume achievements in terms of, it is a play between the volume achievements, price and the margins.
Okay, and so what kind of margins are you expecting once Vietnam operations stabilize, say, a couple of years later?
What is the margin expectation?
So it will be in double digits in that sense.
Alright, thank you. And sir, in a couple of industry papers I was reading that developed markets are seeing a degrowth in the traditional instant coffee markets. So I just want to understand what is your growth strategy in such a scenario and how do you look at this?
No, growth strategy, see, the point is being coffee being a, you know, some, you know, basic drink which people, you know, kind of, you know, consume on a day-to-day basis. The issue will be in terms of the opening up of this Horeca and, you know, all these out of home consumption getting improving. So that obviously may take about 6 months, 1 year we expect, and as it picks up, we are hoping to be, you know, sort of getting back to, you know, kind of volume growth levels that which used to exist. And in the meanwhile, we are looking at new geographies, and as we explained about the new product development. So those are the focus areas for us.
Alright, and so my last question is, this is a broad industry question that I have. From what I understand, this industry is already in an oversupplied market. So how much does size and experience matter in terms of high value client acquisition, and are you seeing this shift happening in the market?
Yes, we are. So the point is like this, this is a market where customer relationships and key customer relationships are very important. So that we are extremely strong in that perspective. Many of the clients we have been there with us for several years at a stretch. So that becomes key, and there we are extremely good at.
And of course the work that we do on premiumizing and differentiating our product, that's extremely important. So we can't be a run-of-the-mill commercial coffee player. That's something which we are not. So that's the other important aspect.
And so does a size of operations of a company matter in terms of, you know, how clients choose their vendors?
Size of the company, my company does matter, but the only thing is what we are looking at is our capacities are on optimal, you know, kind of, it can always be higher, but we are at an optimal level in terms of spray, aglo and freeze. So for example, freeze, we are at the premium end of the freeze, we are at around 7,000 capacities within India and Vietnam. So that is a sizable, you know, kind of substantial size enough, which for us, for the customers to be interested. And with whom, as we said, there are long relationships which we have built, so that stands always in good stead.
And I think we are possibly the only company which straddles the entire value chain of coffee, from, you know, plantations right up to extractions, roasting, and our relationship with the Starbucks, etc. So that does matter, and especially when you have new client acquisition or, you know, keeping clients with us, they do appreciate that fact.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Nair from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So first question would be on the MEIS. So what we read was the government has capped this number to an absolute amount for the current quarter, and the scheme which they are planning to come up with in lieu of this would not be completely able to cover the benefit that they were giving earlier. So just wanted to know your views as to the near term and the impact next year onwards on our profitability because of the MEIS benefit reducing.
So as we said, see, the 2 crores we will, anyway, we have to apply once the portal opens, we will get for this quarter. Okay, on the new scheme, RODTP scheme, we are not very clear on the rates and what they are fixing up. Okay, so we will have to wait, you know, we don't have clarity on that. So average, if I have to say for the year, you know, our MEIS in the range of around 12 to 14 crores would be there. So obviously, you know, it depends on what the government's policies are, because obviously it's an export friendly kind of policy, then obviously some of these benefits will be restored.
Okay, so second bit is now that we are almost utilizing our Vietnam facility fully, so in terms of the future drivers of volume growth, have we planned our next phase of expansion, be it in India or outside, or it's too early to think about?
We are looking at you know, kind of evaluating opportunities, but we should also realize that, you know, at this time, you know, when we are looking at a pandemic and recovery and all that, it's quite difficult to, you know, look at the, you know, outlook in the sense, you know, in the near term. So obviously we are keeping an eye on that, and you know, that's where, you know, that's all what we can say at this point of time.
All right, and final question is on this Tata Grand. So are we do we have any aggressive plans to make a foray into the branded coffee market in India and ramp up distribution aggressively, or that's not a priority for us in the near term?
No, Tata Coffee Grand is of utmost priority, topmost priority. But as you would have read, Tata Consumer, you know, under the new leadership has strengthened, you know, sales and marketing and distribution. And we are confident that, you know, the Tata Coffee Grand would also be getting the benefit of all this. So the answer to the question is Tata Coffee Grand is of topmost priority.
But any indication that you can give on the size of that?
I think this question probably you can ask at the TC, Tata Consumer Analyst Meeting.
Sure. All right. That's all from me, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Jayant from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning, Jayant.
Sir, our last annual report was based themed on pepper, and I think we are targeting big on pepper plantation. So I have confusion on the figure. We have around 1.8 million pepper vines and we have production of 775 tons. So that gives yield of only 400 grams, whereas the global average is around 7 to 9 kilo per tree. So yeah. I want to understand the maturity of the age of the plantation, pepper plantation, when we have planted all this. And what is our future projection of the production of pepper in coming 2-3 years?
So you are right in that sense, because what has happened is the 1.8 lakh, 18 lakh vines and all have been planted over the last 4 or 5 years. It would take some time for this, the maturity of these vines to come. And they are at different stages of maturity. Okay. If you really want to look at the fully mature wine, it could take possibly 7 to 8 years.
Yes.
7 to 8 years. So obviously we are at the, you know, last year's paper was not the right, you know, right volume. Ideally 1100. Ideally, the 2 years before, we had 1100 tons of pepper, and we are expecting this pepper crop to grow further in the coming years. Whether it become, of course, our aspiration levels are very high on pepper, there's no doubt. It almost, you know, current level of 1100 tons, if you take on the average, it will be double of that. That's the kind of aspiration, or even more than that. But what time frame it will be there, because it's an agronomy kind of product. So what time it will be there, it will depend. We will not be able to, because as the vines mature, definitely we are expecting growth in pepper.
And also you must remember that most of the pepper and the yields that you're talking about is from areas which grow mono pepper, and which is, you know, just pepper plantations. In this case, you're actually growing pepper as a, you know, ancillary crop on trees which are there within the coffee estates. So there is shade, there is other agronomic conditions which actually make, you know, you cannot have the same kind of yields that you would have in a monocrop compared to something which is, you know, a shade grown or ancillary crop along with coffee. So even the growth would also be accordingly, the time taken would be also slightly more. But as Venkat said, the fact is, fact of the matter is that the aspiration for pepper and the clarity that pepper is going to be one of our, you know, premier or rather a lever that we would be using for profitability of the plantation is absolutely clear to us.
So what kind of average can we expect from our plantation?
On pepper?
Yeah.
So you're talking in terms of the overall crop?
Yeah, per vines or per tree, yeah.
So, see, it is, as I mentioned, it is not the right thing to take, 18 lakhs and extrapolate it, because it is in various stages. A mature vine would, at this point also, possibly would be giving you anything between 3 to 4 kilos of pepper, right? An immature wine or a vine, even in immature vines, a 5-year-old vine possibly would be giving you anything up to 1 kilo, and a two-year-old vine could be giving you anything as low as 200 grams or 100 grams. So it's a difficult question to just put a number around that.
Okay. Sir, your actually plantation performance remained poor in spite of good tea prices and good sales of green beans. Actually, last year our tea production was around, say, 5 million kg and average realization of 120. And I think this year the prices were average 50 rupees higher. So in spite of our actual plantation performance did not improve. So can you tell us what is the distribution of our tea sales during 4 quarters?
No, see, one thing is that it is not 50 rupees higher, Jayan. The point is, that you should not, please don't compare the North Indian prices with South Indian prices. South Indian prices, while they have gone up, but not to the extent of, I won't say 20 to 30 rupees, 20, 25 rupees, depending on the, you know, mix in the, you know, CTC or, you know, all that thing, leaf and dust and all that. And secondly, see, tea last year for us was a loss. So this year it has registered profits. Okay. So to that extent, there has been a delta in that trend, which is a positive delta, which has happened on tea. Okay. Having said that, please remember tea, you know, also is, you know, it is, you know, the crop is plays a very critical role in the tea profitability. Okay, the 5 million actually, you know, can be much higher depending on the weather conditions. So to as the extent, so it's a play between the crop and the prices, which would probably relate to the, you know, what profitabilities we can achieve.
Actually, if you look at the tea board side, the it clearly shows the in many cases the prices are almost double any, for 90 rupees to 170, 180. In many cases, at least it is 50 rupees higher if you look at the tea board side.
But you are saying that from the marketeer point of view. So we are a producer, no?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is a difference you have to understand. So much of this profit could be captured with the marketeer. Okay. Secondly, on the coffee, as mentioned earlier, there's a fair valuation impact, so ideal to look at possibly in a, you know, at the end of the year when the harvest is completed, because obviously every quarter we are, depending on the biological growth, we have to fair value depending on the prices. So when it gets into an inventory mode, then the profitability, the gains will be realized. Inventory and subsequently when at the time of sale.
Okay. Sir, in case of 8 o'clock, are we planning to go beyond US?
No, not at this stage, James. Not at this stage. Well, I don't want to comment on it now, But in the sense, if you ask me in the near term, maybe, you know, outside of yours, if you're talking about markets, we may not be able to sort of, you know, comment on it right now. Though obviously we are looking at other opportunities, but I won't say at what time period we will get it.
And last question, sir, if you do the reverse working, I get the turnover of this Vietnam operations around 60 crores and almost profit almost zero at PBT level. So what can be the going forward, the turnover can have a jump from say 250 crores to 400 crores in 1 or 2 years? And what would be the margins at PBT level?
So margins at the PBT level, I don't want to comment on it, but obviously, you know, the potential for increasing turnover is definitely there, as you mentioned.
How it will be increasing?
I think
the Q1 and Q2, the turnover is same, in spite of the strong order book.
But Jain, to just understand, you see, you have to look at the current, you know, conditions in the market conditions also. No, there are, you know, market pressures. So we are working on 2-3 levers to increase prices. We have not fully exploited the SKU capacities there, which is a potential upside, which is there, which we have to look at. At this stage, we have not, because the plant is now about, you know, we started commercial production somewhere in the last year, May, as that the ramp up happens. So we are looking at different levers in terms of, you know, the SKU is one aspect. Secondly, in terms of the, you know, the single origin premium blends, which we already started seeing some results. So there are different levers to look at it. But obviously, the market conditions cannot be overlooked.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. So I'm just on the Tata Grand. Elaborate more. Hello?
Yes, Aniruddha.
Yeah, so Tata Grand, can you elaborate more on that? So what is the current revenue size of the business? What is the plan that you see after maybe 3 years or 4 years down the line? And right now, whether distributed pan-India, whether it is distributed in some select states, is the pricing comparable to the market-leading brand or the variance differentiation in the or premiumization strategy of that brand, etc.? Can you elaborate more on that?
See, Aniruddha, the point is like this: Tata Coffee Grand is manufactured by us and then sold to Tata consumer. So many of these questions, I think Tata consumer would be who are marketing it will be better in a better position to answer. As far as we are concerned, we are clearly seeing a more increased focus on Tata Coffee Grand. Right now, it is only in few states, and the expectation is that the volumes would be and the sales and volumes would be ramped up over a period of time. So having said that, we may not have exact visibility on the plans what you are asking for, because we are not at the marketing end of it, because we manufacture the product and give it to Tata consumers.
Okay, sure. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good morning. So my first question is on the margin front. So like we did a really good EBITDA margin in Q2. That is because of better product mix and cost measure taken by us. So my question is, are these margins sustainable in the second half or maybe let's say FY22?
We are not able to sort of give a guidance on this, but our expectation is that, you know, see, if you look at Q1, there are different parts of the business. One is the plantation business, which obviously go through green, you know, which is a green bean, tea and pepper. So if you look at the green bean, tea and pepper, all the three registered, you know, kind of decent kind of, you know, performance in the first quarter. And second quarter, tea, of course, did extremely well, exceptionally well. And coffee is too early because the coffee harvest starts only in November. So that obviously will be better able to comment on it. But having said that, the terminals and pricing would influence, because the terminals have softened over a period of time. They were a little high a couple of months back. They have softened. So that will be one factor which will be going in mind. On the instant coffee business between India and Vietnam, the margins have been, you know, stable. And Vietnam is a new plant which is ramping up. So that benefit will come over a period of time. And in terms of India business, obviously it's either stable. The first quarter was impacted due to say all these, you know, the thinner attendance at the factories due to the government regulations and all that. That those are behind us, so that's back, you know, back to near normal in that sense. On the Asia block, of course, the quarter one was superlative. Quarter two, they're continuing to do well. So that's the kind of, you know, the position between the businesses in the last two quarters.
Okay. And so my second question is on the CAPEX side. So what is the CAPEX plan for FY 21 and 22?
No, FY 21, this year the CAPEX will be very less. We are only doing, you know, basically those are very, very, you know, IRR accretive. We are looking at in terms of factory kind of things. You know, suppose we have a packing machine requirement, increase capacities or something. Those are... In this year, the CAPEX will be, you know, probably half of, maybe between 10 and 15 crores roughly in that range. Next year, of course, we will have an increased CAPEX, but that would depend exactly on how the conditions, the market conditions are. So for us, you know, if you look at the businesses, plantation, there will be some replanting requirements which will be there. And other than that, which will possibly result in improved yields over time. On the factory side, we are looking at, you know, clearly IRR creative projects wherever required.
Okay. That was helpful, sir. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Oh, thank you very much for attending this. We hope to catch up with all of you in the end of the third quarter. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.